Lord, everybody. That was a little weak. Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, is there anybody that's free in the house? I know we sang about it, but why don't we rejoice? If you've been set free by the blood of the Lamb, I wonder if you can just lift up your hands for just a moment and just thank God. The Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Come on, I thank God for the freedom that I have in Christ. Come on, I was bound by sin, but I've been set free by the name of Jesus, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Come on, I'm free to lift my hands. I'm free to worship. I'm free to magnify God. I'm free to do a dance. I'm free to run. I'm free to shout. I'm free to, come on somebody, I'm free to clap my hands and stomp my feet. Why? Because Jesus has set me free. Come on, I was bound by depression, but Jesus set me free. I was bound by anxiety, but Jesus set me free. Come on, I'm no longer a prisoner to sin, but I've been set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, why don't you just clap your hands right now? However you know how to worship God, if you've been set free, why don't you just clap your hands? Why don't you just jump? Maybe take a lap around the building if you've been set free. There ought to be something that takes place physically when we've been set free. Come on, we were bound, we were shackled. We didn't have the opportunity to move our hands and move our feet. We were in prison, but God took the keys and unlocked the prison door. And God unlocked the shackles from our hands. And God unlocked the shackles from our feet. We ought to now use those same hands and clap them and magnify the name of Jesus. We ought to use those same feet to dance before the Lord. And come on and leap for joy. Come on, somebody. I've got a reason to be thankful. I've got a reason to dance. I've got a reason to shout. I've got a reason to clap my hands. I've got a reason to do a dance. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. I've been set free by the power of Jesus. Come on, I've learned something. The Lord has been too good to me for me to be quiet. The Lord has been too good for me not to clap my hands, not to worship Him, not to praise Him. If God has done something for you, then you have a reason to give God the glory. Come on, preacher, I don't feel like it. Well, guess what? God died for you one day at Calvary. You've got a reason to magnify Him. Come on, there's times where we don't feel like worshiping. We don't feel like lifting up our hands. We're weighed down by the problems of life. But can I tell you that sometimes your greatest praise and your greatest worship will come when you least feel like it. Come on, it's easy to worship God when things are going good. But I wonder if there'd be somebody in the room that can say, I worship Him despite my sickness, despite my problems, despite my difficulties, despite what might be going on in my life. I will praise Him anyhow. I will praise Him through the storm. I will praise Him through the fire. I will praise Him through the circumstance. Why? Because my God is good. My God is faithful. It doesn't matter what's going on. My God is still worthy. My God is still deserving of my praise. Come on, if you feel shackled, praise will bring you through. Paul and Silas were in the prison, but when they began to sing praises unto God, the Bible says that the prison cells began to shake. Come on, and the doors opened and the shackles fell off. You might be in prison tonight, but praise will bring you out. Praise, come on, somebody. Praise will unlock your prison. And not only that, but the Bible says that those that were in the prison cells next to them were loosened from their shackles. Not only will praise set you free, but it will set others around you free. It will set your family free. Your husband free. Your wife free. Your children free. Come on, why don't you praise for somebody else's freedom right now? Come on, I'm praising for my lost loved ones. Come on, I'm praising for my lost family. I'm praising for my lost friends. Come on, I'm going to worship for them. They might not be able to do it right now, but I'm going to praise for them so that the prison cells that they are locked in can begin to shake and can begin to open. There is power in your worship. There is power in your praise. Come on, I just feel to stay right here. God wants to, come on, there needs to be a revival of praise in some of us. We talk about a revival in church growth, but what about a revival of praise? What about a revival of worship? What about a revival of exaltation to God? Come on, we can't just be quiet. We can't just sit and watch, but we've got to actively participate in what is going on in the house of God. Come on, I didn't come to be amused. I came to worship God. I didn't come to be a spectator, but I've come with my worship, with my praise. I didn't come to sit in a pew, but I came to get up and dance and worship and give God the glory. Come on, you might have come in here looking to get something, but why don't you just take a moment and give something to God right now? Come on, remember the time when He healed you. Remember the time when He saved you. Remember the time when He delivered you. Remember the time when He restored you. Remember the time when He mended your broken heart. Come on, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for me, my soul cannot help but cry out, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's the highest form of worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I challenge you right now just to get out of yourself to get out of your comfort zone. Just respond to what God is doing right now and just watch what God can do for you. When the praises go up, the song says that the blessings come down. Stop waiting for God to do something and just start asking, what can I do for Him? Come on, somebody. Come on, you can give Him your worship. You can give Him your praise. If you're looking for a healing, why don't you just praise Him in advance? If you're looking for a blessing, why don't you just praise Him in advance? Come on, maybe you can't do too much, but you can lift up your hands and shout Jesus. Maybe you feel like you can't do too much, but you can lift up your hands and say hallelujah. Lord, I thank You. You've been so good to me. I cannot tell it all. Come on, I might not preach what's in my iPad right now because God has stepped into this room. I need you to hear me. There is power in what we are doing right now. There is power in what we are doing right now. Too often we come into the house looking about what we can get from God. But this is not what it's about. It's not about what you can get from God. See, we get caught up. Come on, I want healing. I want financial blessing. I want God to do this and I want God to do that. Can I tell you from experience that sometimes you just got to put aside your wants, put aside your needs and say, you know what? I'm not worried about that right now. God, I'm here to worship You. God, I'm here to magnify You. God, I'm here to give You praise. God, I'm here to give You glory. God, I'm here to give You honor. And sometimes when we just get on that mindset, God will show up in our situation. God will heal. God will save. God will deliver. You don't even have to ask Him. But if you just begin to thank God, God will step in to your need and show up. Come on, I know there's some needs in the house right now. I know there's some needs in the house. But why don't we just stop focusing on what we need and just focus on the fact that God has been good to us. Because sometimes we can focus so much on what we need that we forget how good God is. And we must never forget the goodness of God in our lives. I say this all the time and I mean it. If God never does anything else for me, God's already done everything for me. If God never blesses me with financial blessings, if God never heals me when I'm sick, then God, guess what? God has still done everything for me. Because 2,000 years ago, God laid His life down and died for my sins so that I did not have to die. God has already done everything for me. God has already done everything for you. What we're doing here, it's biblical. I might save this for tomorrow. What we're doing in here is biblical. The Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. What we are doing, it's biblical. Another scripture says this: clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. What we're doing in here is biblical. Come on, the Bible says praise Him with the harp. Praise Him with the cymbal. Praise Him with the high-sounding cymbal. The Bible says let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. What we are doing in here is biblical. Come on, some people will try to say you don't need to do all that in church. But guess what? I'm reminded of a scripture that one day when the Ark of the Covenant was brought back into Jerusalem, the Bible says that King David, the highest man in the kingdom, took off his royal garments and began to dance before all of the presence of the people. He began to dance in the street because he got a little undignified. Why? Because he was in the presence of the Almighty God. What we are doing in this house tonight is biblical. Come on, if King David can get undignified, then surely you can get undignified. And you know what else I like is this. The Bible says that his wife, Saul's daughter, looked from the top of the roof and looked down at David. And she hated him in her heart because of what he was doing. Sometimes people are going to look at you a little bit crazy. Sometimes people are going to criticize your worship. Sometimes people are going to criticize your shout. Sometimes people are going to criticize your dance, but they don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. They can't tell it like I can tell it what the Lord has done for me. This right here, hear me, Apostolic Lighthouse, this right here is what I felt earlier that God put in my heart for this church. What I felt last night before we left, what God put in my heart this week for this church is what we're doing already. It's already starting to happen. Come on, we could talk about revival, and I'm all for it. I'll talk to you about it later. God's going to fill this house. God's going to fill every seat in this place with somebody that's hungry. I believe that. I stand with you in faith. I believe that you want it. I believe that you're hungry for it, and I believe that you're working towards it. And because of that, God will honor it. But here's the thing. Sometimes as churches, we talk about revival in one dimension. And revival in the dimension that we talk about is church growth. It's about people just coming into the church and seats being filled. That's all good. And I'm all for that. And that's biblical. I believe the Bible talks about it. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. End time revival is biblical. But oftentimes, we forget about a personal revival. Can I just talk to you for a moment? You might as well just stay seated. I mean, stay standing, because this is what we're going to do for the rest of the service. This is what God wants. And I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. A personal revival. We cannot expect this house to be filled. We cannot expect revival to come from the outside if revival doesn't come from within first. Yes, I want revival to happen out there, but it's got to happen in the house first. Because what takes place is this, is as the fire of revival begins to stir in us, the fire grows and begins to expand beyond the four walls of this church. And it begins to reach your school and your community and your job and your home and this city and this state and this region. But the fire needs to start here first. We need to have a personal revival. Some of you in this house, you might have lost your fervency of prayer. You need to have a revival of prayer, because the Bible says this, that the effectual, and get this, ready? Fervent, which indicates fire. The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man will overcome many things. The effectual and fervent. Fervency indicates a fire. There needs to be a fervency of prayer in us. There needs to be a fervency of prayer in this church. You want to see your family pray saved? Then you better get on your knees and pray. You want to see this house filled? Then you better lift up your hands and learn how to fervently pray to the Almighty God. If we want to see miracles and signs and wonders, then this must be a church that has a revival of prayer. It was in the upper room. They weren't singing. They weren't even running and dancing. They were praying. They were in a days-long prayer meeting when the fire of the Holy Ghost descended in that upper room and filled the 120, and then it poured out into the streets. And the Bible says that 3,000 other people were added to the church that day. Can I tell you that the book of Acts sets the template for what the church of 2025 must look like? Get this here. It started in the church. It started in the upper room. It started with 120. It started in a prayer meeting. But it did not end in a prayer meeting. And it did not end with the 120. It did not even end in Jerusalem. But the Bible tells us, get this, pay attention to this. The Bible says that it started in the upper room. And just on that day alone, what took place in there began to pour out into the streets. And 3,000 others, my God. 3,000 others got to experience the outpouring of God's presence, of God's power, of God's Spirit. You talk about a revival. You talk about a revival. It didn't happen when they began to sing, but it happened in a prayer room when they said, we're going to tarry and wait. We're going to press until we get into the glory of God. We're going to seek the face of God until He shows up and pours out His Spirit. It happened in a prayer meeting. And if the church was birthed in a prayer meeting, what makes you think the church will do anything else without a prayer meeting? Come on, the church was birthed in prayer, and the church will leave this world in prayer. The church was birthed in prayer, and it will see this end time revival in prayer. Saints of God, hear me tonight. We must learn how to pray. If you do not know how to pray, you will not remain. There's an old saying that says this, if you don't pray, you do not stay. Because prayer is the thing that will keep you in the midst of your storms, in the midst of your fiery trials, in the midst of the furnace, in the midst of chaos breaking out in your life. It is prayer that will keep you. It is prayer that draws you closer to God. It is prayer that makes you more spiritual. It is prayer that brings you strength. It is prayer that brings you peace. It is prayer that brings you hope. It is prayer that will birth anointing. It is prayer that will birth ministry. And it is prayer that will bring revival to Apostolic Lighthouse. There's a saying that my pastor tells often to me and has for a very long time. It's this. He says, Joseph, you cannot build a church on music and miracles. Sorry, you cannot build a church on music and miracles. Why? Because the church was not established on music and miracles. But he said, you want to know how you build a church? A church is not built through music and miracles, but a church is built through preaching and prayer. Let me say that again. The church revival does not happen through music and miracles. Yes, we need it. Yes, we will see it. But guess what? The church grows. The church experiences revival when we hear the word of God and we pray. Because what happened? Let's further the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost fell in a prayer meeting. But then what happened after? Did they sing? No. The Bible says that Peter stood up amongst the midst of them and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He proclaimed the word of God. And that is what caused that 3,000 extra person revival on that day. Why? Because it started in a prayer meeting, but then the man of God got up and preached the word and they heard the word and they responded to the word. And God, come on somebody, and God expanded that revival. And 2,000 years later, that word is still being preached and that revival fire is still burning in our world today. We need a revival of prayer and we need a revival of the Word of God. The Bible says this, that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save. You better thank God for the pastor. You better thank God for Brother Greeley, who stands behind this pulpit every Sunday and preaches to you the unadulterated pure word of God, because it's that word that saves. God didn't choose miracles to save. He didn't choose music to save. But God said that he chose the foolishness of preaching to save. And what this world needs is the word of God. And we, oh my God, and we better make sure that if we are to experience the end time revival that God has planned for us, we must have that word established in our hearts. We must love this word. We must buy this truth and sell it not. Paul said it like this, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the gospel that saves. It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus that reaches somebody in their sin, in their mess, in their bondage, and pulls them out and saves them from hell. But can I just tell you this, saints of God, it's not just the job of Brother Greeley to have the word in him. It's not the job of Pastor Greeley and Pastor Greeley only, or Brother Dyke and Brother Dyke only, or Brother anybody else, or Sister anybody else, and them only, and the leadership and the ministry of this church and the licensed ministers to have the Word of God in our hearts. Because guess what? Brother Greeley's not going to your job with you. And Brother Greeley's not going to your family reunion with you. And Brother Greeley's not stepping into your college or into your high school or into your middle school with you. Pastor's not going there with you. And if we want to see a multi-generational, multi-ethnic, multicultural revival in this hour, then it's going to take everybody to have the Word of God in us, so that we can take that word and share it to everybody that we know. Everybody that's hungry. Everybody that's thirsty. Everybody that's broken. That's what it's going to take, saints of God. I've come this week. I feel it. I felt it last night right before we closed. I've come this week to provoke us in the Holy Ghost. I've come this week to challenge us in the Holy Ghost. If I don't do anything else, that's what I've come to do this week. Because I'm going to talk what I feel right now. Some of us have gotten comfortable right where we're at, but God is looking for more from you. Some of us think because we got baptized and got saved that we can just sit back and watch and wait till the coming of the Lord, but that is not the will of God for the church. Jesus left the church with one mission and one mission only. He said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. He left them with an action plan. He didn't just leave them with a plan of salvation, but he left them with a plan of action. That once you experience the plan of salvation, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you now take that and you go share it with somebody else. And I'm just going to talk what I feel right now. Some of us are living beneath what God has planned for us. Some of us are living beneath what God expects from us. Some of us are living beneath what God requires of us. Some of us aren't even doing the bare minimum of what is expected in the Word of God. You have a choice to make, not just today, but every day you wake up and every day you come into this house. And it is this: what kind of Christian do I want to be? I made it up in my mind. I was 19 years old, 20 years old, when I decided to walk away from everything I had planned in my life to do the will of God. And I'll be honest, I walked away from a lot. I didn't walk away just from a job at McDonald's. I walked away from a career, a potential career of being a doctor. I walked away from a lot. I walked away from relationships. I walked away from all of that. And because of that, I have come to this mindset right here that I did not turn away from all of those things to sit in a pew and do nothing for God. I'll go further. I didn't walk away from a life of sin just to come into the church and experience God just a little bit. Just to have just a small little taste. But I made it up in my mind that every time I come into the house of God, every time I'm in the house, it doesn't matter what I feel. And sometimes I don't feel good. It doesn't matter if I'm tired or not. And sometimes I'm worn down. And it doesn't matter if I've got all types of craziness happening in my life, because there's been plenty of times that I do. But I've determined one thing, that when I come into the house of God, I am here and expecting a move of the Holy Ghost. I don't want anything else when I come into the house, anything less than a move of God. But I'm just going to be real here. I said that a bunch of times last night, apparently. I'm just going to be honest with you and tell you what I feel is that some of us come and we are just here to check off a box. We're so rooted in religion that we just want to come and feel good that I came to church on Sunday. I came to church on revival weekend. But it's not good enough just to come to church. It is. It's not good enough to come just to come to church when there is a God that says that there is so much levels to His glory. There's so much levels to His power. There's so much levels to God that some of us have not experienced. That some of us are just scratching the surface of. Why? Because we lack a hunger and we lack a desire and we lack an urgency to say, God, I just want more of You. I just want more of Him, more of His power, more of His glory, more of His presence. I won't settle for anything less than more of God. There's just something inside of me that is constantly hungry and constantly thirsty for more of God. And we could talk about a revival that's going to come to this church, and I believe it. But there needs to be a revival in this house tonight. There needs to be a revival in our spirits. Come on, we've got to shake off comfortability. We've got to shake off complacency and start grabbing us. My God. I can see the cloud. Come on, it's heavy with rain. There's a revival cloud that is coming. There's a latter rain that's coming. And God's going to pour out His Spirit in this city. God's going to pour out His Spirit in this church. But guess what? Hear me right now. We've got to start digging some holes so that we can contain the rain that is coming. Which means we've got to grab some shovels and start digging so that we can create some capacity for the revival rain that is coming. Come on, right now it's just flat ground, but we need to take a shovel tonight and just start digging in that soil and start digging some wells so when that rain comes, it can fill up. Come on, can I just speak what I feel right now? The level of revival that will come to this church is determined by how deep you dig. However deep you dig will determine the level of revival that will come to this church. You dig a shallow hole, you'll have a shallow revival. But if you dig a deep hole, if you dig a wide hole, if you dig a, oh my God, if you dig a big hole, then there is no telling the magnitude of revival that God will send. Come on, you hear me right now. It will fill this house twice over. It will fill this house three times over. But there has to be something in us tonight. What is your level of hunger for God? Jesus writes to churches in the book of Revelation. We find He writes to one church. I believe it's the book of Ephesus. the church in Ephesus. And He writes and says this. He says that you have forsaken your first love. It was a church that was once passionate for the things of God. It was a church that was once on fire for the things of God. I know I'm not talking to everybody here today. Please understand that, because I know that some of you are fervent. That's why God's moving, because there's some of you that are fervent right now. But He said you've forsaken your first love. You know what I love about new converts, Brother Dyke? There's nothing like a new convert that's been brought out of a world of sin and has been saved by the power of God. They are so on fire. They are so fervent. They don't care what anybody thinks. They don't care what anybody got to say, because they say, you don't know what life I came out of. You don't know the drugs that I came out of, the alcohol that I came out of, the abuse that I came out of, the fornication and the witchcraft that I came out of. You don't know what God brought me out of. There's nothing like a new convert that has tasted for the very first time the saving power of God. They're so on fire. They love the things of God. They're so fervent. They're at the front running and dancing and shouting before the Lord. Why? Because they know that God has done a mighty thing in their life. But this is what I see, is that so often those same people over time become to get jaded and they get comfortable and they think and they begin to take this thing for granted. And they forgot all about where they were. And they just begin to sit in a pew. And their worship begins to dim. And their fire begins to go out. And they just become common. And their worship becomes common. And their praise becomes common. And their prayers become common. Why? Because they slowly forget what God has done for them. And that was the problem with the church of Ephesus. He said, you've forsaken. You have forgotten your first love. We must remember what God has brought us out of. The reason I still lift up my hands and cry and worship God and spend hours at altars and dance before the Lord and run when I need to run and shout when I need to shout. The reason that I'm so excited about the things of God is because I constantly remind myself of what the Lord has done for me. I've made it up in my mind this right here, that there is no new convert that is going to out-shout me. There's no new convert that's going to out-dance me. That's going to out-praise me. That's going to out-worship me. Because, oh my God. Because this thing gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. The more I know Him, the greater my worship becomes. The greater I experience Him, the deeper my praise becomes. Come on. You remember when you were bound by sin? Remember when you were in witchcraft? And you were bound by drugs? And you were abused? And you were misused? And you were lost and undone without God? Without hope in this world? And you were depressed? And you were suicidal? And you were anxious about everything? Don't you remember those days? But God visited you. Oh, yes. But God visited you. Oh, I remember. I'll never forget the days. Come on, I'll never forget in February 2019 when I was in that hospital room in a life full of sin, but God visited me there. When the doctor told me I could have died, God visited me there. And guess what He said? He said, I'm not done with you. I've still got a plan for you. And God pulled me out of that hospital bed, but more than that, God pulled me out of my sin and He placed me on a solid rock. And I stand before you today with a praise in my mouth and a worship in my heart because I'll never forget how God kept me. I'll never forget how God's mercy reached down in my sin. I'll never forget how God's love covered my sin. And I'm not going to belabor this much longer. But hear me in this house. Hear the man of God. Hear this word. Hear this preacher tonight. We must not fall into such a... We must not fall in the trap that all we do as a church is just talk about revival, but we never take action to see revival. And this is the key. How many of us got lost family members? I'm assuming every hand in this house should be lifted. Now keep your hand up if you want to see those family members saved. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take a revival in you. I'm just going to be honest. If I get in trouble, Brother Greeley will tell me later. But I am concerned about people that call themselves Christians. That when the power of God is moving in a service. Oh my God. That they sit there with a blank face. And they sit there with a blank stare. And they sit there with their hands in their pocket. And they sit there with their mouth closed. And they sit there with their knees locked. I'm concerned. I'll be honest. And I'm just going to go further. That's some of you in this house. But that does not have to remain you. I'm concerned about people that call themselves Christians, but can't lift up their hands and magnify God. I'm concerned about people that call themselves Christians, but don't lift up their mouth and pray. I'm concerned about people that can't tap into the Spirit of God and pray down the glory. I'm concerned about people that can't tap in to the Spirit of God and pray down the power. I'm concerned about people that can't, my God, that can't plug into the Spirit of God. Come on, I'm challenging somebody in this house. It is time that you take off the heavy weights and the sin that does so easily beset you. It's time to shake off the lackadaisical mindset. It's time to shake off.
Come on, it's time to shake off the shallow worship, the shallow praise, the shallow prayer that you've been giving God, and start grabbing a shovel and saying, I'm digging deeper, I'm digging deeper, I'm digging deeper, I'm digging deeper, I'm digging deeper. Come on, if that's going to be you tonight, I welcome you to this altar right now. Come on, if you made it up in your mind that I'm not going to be that way anymore. Come on, that I'm digging deeper. That I'm going to give God more than I've ever given Him before. I invite you to this altar tonight. Come on, David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Let there be a revival of worship, of praise, of prayer for this church tonight. Come on, it's not going to be dictated by the music. It's not going to be dictated by the song. It's not going to be dictated by the piano or the drums or the guitar or the preacher. You must determine tonight how deep you are going to go. Come on, you must determine tonight how much of God you want. I can't determine it for you. I can't dig for you. I can't grab the shovel for you. But you must decide that I'm digging tonight. That I want more of God. That I will experience a personal revival. Come on, no longer am I going to be weighed down by the cares of life. No longer am I going to be bound by sin. No longer am I going to be determined by the opinions of others. No longer am I going to live in fear. No longer am I going to live in worry. But I've come tonight to walk in joy, to walk in peace. Oh, I've come to worship God. I've come to praise Him with everything that is within me, with my whole heart, with my whole mind, with my whole spirit. Come on, young people. This is for you tonight. You can shape your whole school. You can shape your whole youth group if you hear what this preacher is saying tonight. You can be mightily used of God. If you know how to go deeper, if you just grab the shovel and start digging, come on, you can reach your family, you can save your family, if you just grab a shovel and start digging tonight. Come on, don't get tired. Push past the weariness. Push past the tiredness. Pray longer than you normally pray. Worship longer than you normally worship. Let there be a press in your spirit. Let there be a push in the Holy Ghost tonight. Come on, there's power in tarrying in the presence of God. Come on, God can save your family when you just get into the presence of God and tarry before Him and pray like you've never prayed before. It might be an hour. It might be 2 hours. But time ceases to exist when you just get into the glory of God. Come on, parents. The Bible says that one generation will praise into the next. Your children are watching you. They're watching how you respond. They're watching how you worship. They're watching how you pray. You're setting the example. Dad, come on, father. Come on, mother. Your son is watching you. Your daughter is watching you. They're watching how you respond in church. They're watching how you pray at the altar. They're watching how you pray in the house. You're setting the precedence for your children. One generation will praise into the next. Come on. You want children that are going to live for God past their teens? Don't just tell them to pray. Show them to pray. Teach them to pray. Pray with them. Do it right now. Take them by the hand and say, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to live. Oh, yes. A revival of prayer. Let it fill this house right now. A revival of prayer. Let it grab a hold of our spirits. A revival of prayer. Let it fill our hearts tonight. Come on, set a fire. Set a fire down in my soul tonight. Oh God, that I can't contain. That I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, Jesus. Come on, you might feel like stopping right now, but that's when you keep on pressing. Come on, you might feel weary right now, but push past the weariness of your flesh and tap into the Spirit of God. Come on, some of you, you've already got a great hunger, but God said there's still more. To every level, there's another level. To every depth, there's another depth. To every height, there's another height that God wants to take you to. Lord, I pray right now, Father, that there'd be a great hunger that would fill our spirits tonight. Lord, that we would no longer have an appetite for the things of this world, but that our appetite would be simply for the things of God. Lord, your word says, whoever hungers and whoever thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Lord, I pray that you'd fill us tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd fill our hunger.
Yes, God.
Oh, yes. Lord, you're calling us tonight to deeper waters. There is a voice that is ringing in this room that is saying, go a little bit deeper. Come on, go deeper. Go further. Come on, climb a little bit higher. Oh, dig a little bit deeper in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus.
Come on, this isn't just for you. Come on, it's for your husband. It's for your wife. It's for your son. It's for your daughter. It's for your family. It's for your friends. It's for your classmates. It's for your co-workers. It's for this city. It's for the lost. It's for the broken. It's for the hurting.